The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Here I am. You said it, Noah, and you were right. I am here.
How's it going, Noah?
Good.
I love starting out the day listening to Anya sing my name. That's a fun song. People are digging it.
I love Anya.
Anya Marina, everyone.
I'm a subscriber to her Patreon. She's the best.
To her Patreon? I am as well. It's she's just one of the it's so nice to have friends who are actually talented, who you don't have to support, you know, blindly because they're your friend. I haven't talked to her in so long though. You're really the only person outside of this island who I've been talking to. I'm completely terrible about keeping up with everyone in my life outside of this work experience. My family, my friends, and I'm always bad about that anyway when I like am not in the city of them. When I like move from New York to LA, like I have my New York friends and LA friends, and like we just don't, I'm not good at catching up on the phone every day. And I'm super busy, but yeah, I miss my friends, and they're probably annoyed with me for not, you know, catching up with them. But it just makes me realize I can kind of, as much as I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to miss this place so much and all these people I've met, like, I know in my heart that I will be okay because I'm just always happy wherever I am. I don't really long for things. So we'll see. What were you going to ask me?
I just had to ask you right off the bat because I always check your Instagram stories before we go on.
Yeah.
And I need to know what's going on with your legs. You posted a photo. It looks like you're at the gynecologist, but you're not.
Right. So for the show, I want to be tan because I'm in a tropical location and spray tans. I pretty much am on camera every day for this whole 6 weeks. And with a spray tan, you get one on a Tuesday. It's you wash it off on a Wednesday morning and it's like ready to go and perfect. It lasts you till about Friday if you're careful about showering and like only washing your pits and your ass and your puss. But then by Saturday, it's starting to slough. And then people go, we'll get a new spray tan. Well, there are parts of your skin that are darker and parts that are not. So the spray tan will now go on to, now you'll look like another kind of horse, like from the last episode where I couldn't name a type of horse, but you know, that spotted horse that's like white with like brown spots, Palomino, possibly. Oh,
not a roan horse?
You look like
horse?
That. Not a what?
A roan horse?
I've never heard of a roan horse.
I just remember taking a genetics class and there was a roan horse that was really important because it blended genes and it was like strawberry blonde.
Mm. No, not like a roan horse. Although that's what my voice sounds like, is a roan horse. So I don't know. I'm just like this spray. I can have no answers about the spray tan. I literally asked Paris Hilton. I go, you're someone who, if you're a girl that needs to be on camera Wednesday looking her best, and you also need to be on camera Saturday looking your best, what do you do? And you can't get the spray tan off because people go, just wash it off, scrub it off. No. These things do not come off. They come off naturally when your skin flakes off. So it's just like they fade a little, but like, so what I've done is I let the spray tan that I got initially just completely come off. And now I use Sally Hansen leg spray. You can get it at any drugstore. And I just spray that, and my makeup artist, Robin, just puts it on for me. So every single day, I have to have her paint my legs. And it's always just like and Andrew always takes a picture because it's just, he'll walk into the room and be like, this is too funny. Like, you're laying down, like you're in stirrups at the gyno. And, but someone did write me and said, it looks like you are like, I'm getting, a couple people wrote me. One said, I'm getting major bi vibes from this, meaning like you might be gay or a little bit gay. And then another one of my like people who I know said, I go living my best life, or like, this is my day's going great. And says, she was like getting your like lesbianism or something. And so people are getting very gay vibes. I didn't know that was what I was putting out there with these. I mean, they are like kind of sexual cause my legs are splayed, but you know, it's a, you know, heterosexual married woman that's doing it. But I am getting a little bit, feeling a little bi-curious out here. I got to be honest with you, Noah. And that's not because of the leg thing, but it was interesting that people picked up on that. Like, I was just having a conversation the other night with the ladies that were over for my party, and we were talking about, like, some of them have just hooked up with women for fun or just to try it. And I was like, oh, I've never really done it. And I don't know. I'm like, and then I was thinking about how much, I don't want to get graphic, but how much I'm not opposed to it. And I'm probably very open to it. I just want to have, like, I just want to see what it would be like, because I don't believe that I'm a lesbian, but I do believe that you could just be attracted to energies, as woo-woo as that sounds. Like, I don't know. There's a lot of times I tell my girlfriends, and I want every girl who's listening right now to think about this. You know, like, guys you've dated where you have, like, for me, I have a group of girlfriends that's like, it's not easy to get into that club. Like, you got to be a special, cool person. Anyone who's listening probably could get in because you're cool and you like openness and you like honesty. And no, you're in that cool group. Like, you've been to my, like, girl hangs at the Cellar, the Comedy Cellar, where I have all my table. Like, I make my own. I'm like Barbara Walters with The View. Like, I make a table of girls, but we actually get along and don't all hate each other behind the scenes. And a lot of times we spend those times talking about these guys that are like, we're trying to decipher their texts or like if they like us as much as we like them and all this stuff. And there was one time there at Epiphany that I was like, as I was dealing with some guy who was like truly worthless, you know? And I was like, if he were a woman, like if I just snapped my fingers and made him a woman, he would not be allowed at this table as a friend. Like he would suck. His sense of humor, the way he conducts himself, his listening skills, he wouldn't be allowed here. The only thing of value to me from him is that he has a penis and that he has this masculine energy that I like crave the approval and the his desire, you know? But him as a person, he sucks. And so now I'm trying to think of like this idea of this like energy of someone who's just like, I want whoever I end up with, I could snap my fingers and if they were a girl, I'd still want to fuck them. That being said, I think I could fuck a girl if she had the energy of one of these guys that actually deserves my attention and affection. Does this make sense?
I could see that.
Don't you think that girls put up, and I think guys do too. Guys, this can definitely apply to guys. I know so many cool guys that I'm a part of their friend group, like comedian guys, and then their girlfriends come around and it's just like dud city. It's like this girl has no personality. She sucks. She's bringing the table down. I don't say that, but she doesn't. I know that people like to keep their friends and their boyfriends separate, but it should be able to commingle without it feeling like this heaviness of like, I can't believe he's here. But you're someone who likes to keep, like, you don't want your fiance to be your best friend.
No.
He's my best friend. It's like if you don't put that in your vows, you're somehow like a bad woman. Like, you didn't find your best friend. And it's like, no, first of all, those are what my listeners are called. And secondly, will you elaborate on that? Yeah.
Yeah. He's only allowed to be a best friend if he's listening to this podcast.
Yes.
But I've told him straight up, we're not going to be best friends. We have to keep some kind of separation, because I just think once you get too close and then your partner becomes everything, it's a lot of expectations. There's going to be a lot of resentments brewing. You can't put that all on one person. And I also think it's good to be different people and then come back to the relationship. And that's an Esther Perel thing that we're both fans of.
Yes, Esther Perel, the author of Mating in Captivity and
amazing book, by the way,
the Affair book. If you've been if you've cheated or been cheated on, this amazing book that she wrote. It's her second book, but look into her, Esther Perel, S-T-H-E-R, Perel, P-E-R-E-L. And then I think, and she also has a podcast called Where Do We Start? Where you get to listen in on couples and
where
couples
do we begin?
Therapy. Where do we begin? Where do we start? Where do we start?
That's our podcast.
yeah, that's truly every day. I'm like, where do I start? I'm like 10 minutes from the time I told you. And then another 10 minutes after that, I'm someone who pushes this thing, pushes and pushes. I know we got to get to the part where we bring in Andrew. I just want to say before he comes in, Andrew is my best friend, unquestionably. Any man who romantic in my life needs to understand that, I told Andrew, like, I'm not going to meet a guy and I'm going to be so in love and he's going to be like, you can't be friends with Andrew. I'm going to choose that guy over Andrew. Like, a requirement for me to be in a relationship with you is you have to be fine with me having a male friend who might be single and who I might say I love you to and hug and like, just like I do my girlfriends. And I just let Andrew start like hugging me and touching me because I've just always wanted to keep that boundary up. And since this podcast and like yesterday we got done, I think it was yesterday. Yeah, yesterday we got done with the podcast and we hugged. Oh yeah, after I said my resentments and we had a long hug, which we've never had. I think maybe we hugged once after my special taping. Aww. And we both said, I love you. And we've never said like, we've said I love you before, but like never like wholeheartedly. All I felt was like real friend love. And it, you know, I've always been like, I don't want to let that in because I want to have such a boundary there of like, I don't want him to hug me and then like feel something else, you know, but that's so clear cut with us now. It's just, there's no question. That. Yes, we're way past that. And then we go to site yesterday and this boy, God love him, acts of service all day long. Bravo to Andrew Collin for listening to my needs that I want as a friend, not even as a partner. This is a love language as a friend. And like, he does love me and I love him. And I need to find out what his friend love language is because he was getting me coffees all day long yesterday, stocking LaCroix in my cooler. I mean, he was a great, great friend slash co-writer slash assistant slash, I was trying to think of something, a joke on Slash. And he was like Slash from Guns N' Roses. Yes. Okay, there we go. I remember Conan used to say like, go to conan.com/, and they would have a picture of Slash's face. So I kind of stole that from them. Okay, let's bring in Andrew Collin right after this. Andrew, welcome to the show. How'd you sleep, buddy?
Feels like a fever dream.
I know.
I slept okay. I got a lot of texts this morning at 8 a.m.
What? Do you have your sound on?
Sometimes I forget, and it's the worst mistake you
can
make.
Can I confront you with something?
But no, it's not often. Usually I'm on.
The other night when you went to bed early after the party, I went upstairs and to check on you, and you were asleep in bed, and you're overhead light, all the lights in your room were on full blast. And this is not an energy issue. This is me wanting you to get the best sleep possible issue. All your lights were on. Then I just figured he's not ready to go to bed, I guess, but he's just laying in bed. Go back downstairs, come back up when I'm ready to go to bed at like 3 and your lights are still on, buddy.
Yes.
So what the hell is, why? And I was telling this to Robin yesterday, my makeup artist, because we were talking about people with anxiety who don't want to treat it, where you see people are suffering and you're like, this would literally be a trip to the doctor and you would get on a pill that would not change anything else about your life except that you wouldn't have panic attacks every day. And we go, why can't people just do it? And I'm like, because people are so, to improve their lives even slightly, they won't make this simplest. And going to the doctor and getting an appointment and then going to get your prescription, that's not all that simple as having such better sleep by hitting a switch or by turning your phone on silent, or like for you, I said, Andrew's a prime example of this. And this is not an attack. I just want to understand you. Seriously. I go, if Andrew was eating a cheeseburger, let's say a hamburger, what do you like on your hamburger, by the way?
Cheese.
Ideally.
Cheese.
And then anything else?
Cheese, ketchup, mayonnaise, mustard.
Okay.
Lettuce, tomato.
Yes. Okay. So this is,
let me pose this to everyone. French fries.
Noah, what do you
tomato.
Like on your burger, whether it be a beef or a veggie type situation? Condiments wise.
I like barbecue sauce and like slow roasted onions.
Okay, so here we go. So let's say you're in this room and I have a tray of two hamburgers that are perfectly cooked the way you like them with the perfect bun that you like them. But across the way, and I'm talking probably 100 feet away in another room across the parking lot.
Yeah.
Let's say a half a football field away. You have to walk. No, not even a half. A quarter of a football field away.
Okay.
But you'd have to go outside. There is a condiment bar with anything that would make your hamburger better. And you're really, really, really hungry. Like the most hungry you've ever been. Andrew, he can say whatever he wants to say right now. He would never take those extra 2 minutes it would take to go get the condiments and make his hamburger better. He would rather just eat the hamburger less desirably because he's hungry now. Noah, what would you do if you were the hungriest?
Are you even asking me?
No, I'm not, because I know the answer to it. You would never.
This is wild.
You don't go the simplest step to make something way better, like the way you shoot video.
First of all, can I at least? What is this? Just
this is
North Korea. Jesus Christ!
I'm impressed. You're right. You got the right Korea.
You are right.
I know I am.
But
I know you so well.
The light thing. I agree. That is a lot of my personality trait. But the light, I usually sleep with the light off, but sometimes I'll sleep with the bathroom light on, which could be annoying and not the best way to sleep. And I sleep with my phone and my computer in my bed.
Yeah, but
and
I'm
we have
not
a threesome.
That, like,
I know I messed up.
I understand. No. It's just turning your phone on silent. Like these little things that would take two
but
seconds
I usually
to just
do
go
that.
Click or, you know, the light switch, like to get out of bed and hit it, you're going to get so much better sleep that you don't even, I know you don't think it, you will, but having a light on.
I think it's more my phone
sleep.
And my computer and my bed in a twin bed that I'm sleeping
a
in.
A bright
is wild.
Light in a room at night.
But the bright light
the
was
room.
One night. I'm saying the computer and phone is
but that's
every
what I'm saying
night.
Is like you forgot to turn off. We all forget to turn off lights. If I'm laying in bed and I'm so tired and my eyes are about to drop and I realize the light across the room is on and it's going to probably make the sleep that I'm about to get less desirable because there's a light on.
Yes.
And we are affected by light as human beings because it replicates this, you know, is the sun essentially. I would get out of bed no matter how tired I was to turn off that light so that the sleep I'm about to get is better. You would not.
How many times has your computer not been charged?
That's what are you talking about? That's different. If
why
I
is it different? You forget to do something that's important.
No,
to you.
It's not that you forget. It's so you're in bed and you're dozing off and you realize
no, that
light
is
on.
I was just so tired. I didn't even realize the light, I didn't even see the light. But I get what you're saying.
Yes, you don't take the extra step when you shoot a video
the
that's funny.
Thing, I would
and I go, yeah. You could edit that so that it looks so much more appealing to the eye. Like
yes.
There could be, you could be that you think that sometimes that like people are like, why would you get a ring light? I'm not like trying to be a model. It's like because you are teaching a class on your computer and your students, it will be more visually pleasing to their eye if it's properly lighted. It's not that it's going to make you hotter. Stop being cool. Like you are too cool for a. Don't be cuh. You're not too cool for a ring light. Make yourself look better so that your students would look at you, not hotter. You just, a brighter image is more attractive to the eye.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
When you ate pizza rolls and bagel bites as a kid, did you microwave or oven?
Here's the difference. I don't, the difference between microwave
wondering.
And oven to me is nil.
Why? Whoa.
It really is. I don't
Wild.
Know the difference. I have never cared about the difference.
People are flipping out right now.
Here's the thing.
But by the way, I'm a microwave guy.
By
and this
way,
it proves your point that you're right.
Microwave is a 3 minute heat up for something, whereas in the oven, that would take 30 minutes. Yeah. So that is a lot different than crossing the room to switch off a light or walking a quarter of a football field to get some ketchup.
It's kind of the same. It's
not.
The same
what Nikki's
vein.
Talking about is taking care of your future self, like doing
yeah.
something
yeah.
right
he
now
doesn't
in
take
consideration
care of, himself.
Of you in the future.
Yes. He thinks of the present and he never thinks about what, like the grocery store trip. He goes to the grocery store and he's full. He will get nothing because he is only thinking about that moment. I don't need food. There's no planning for you.
I think it's because Andrew doesn't really smoke weed. Like I remember when I started smoking weed, I would like before I'd get high, I would be like, okay, when I'm going to be stoned, I'm really going to want to eat ice cream and potato chips. So why don't I go to the store now so I don't have to deal with it while I'm high? Is
no,
that kind of it?
This doesn't check out either.
Wow,
okay,
Noah
so
getting shut down.
No, I'll shut down anything.
This
I
might
disagree
be a
with.
First. Noah gets the hard shutdown.
I hear what you're saying, Noah, but the being high and anticipating that you're going to be hungrier than usual is also the same as knowing you're going to set and there's not going to be food served and all the snacks are something you don't like and still going, I don't need to prepare for this. I'll just wing it because I'm not hungry now. So why would I be hungry in the future? It's almost like you don't have empathy for your future self.
Sure. And look, I'm a simple guy. I'll eat a cold pizza and I won't heat it up. But I like cold pizza.
I understand liking cold pizza, but if something that took less than 30 seconds would improve it by 200%, like truly, like putting condiments on a burger that would take 2 minutes.
Yes, I'm trying to be better with that. I really am. I have made leaps and bounds from where I was. I would have,
for example, when
I was in college, my friends put anchovies under my bed, and it was just, I had an anchovy bed for about 6 years.
You just didn't do anything with it.
No, I just figured
to improve your life. Yeah.
Instead of doing the sheets, I'd flip the bed
Of
course, share circle.
I find, and this is something new to me, I will not settle to eat things that are not exactly what my body wants and craves. In a dire circumstance, yes, when I'm not going to have food for hours and it's all that's available, yes, I will eat whatever's on hand. But if I can wait an hour to get something that actually tastes delicious and that the nutrients it has, like the thing I'm actually, I listen to my body and I go, what are you wanting to eat? You need protein, you need greens. And I know that that's an hour away. I will rather wait than eat something that is disappointing. And I think people so often just eat whatever's in front of them when really asking for an extra dressing on the side. The other night I got a salad. I was starving. Everyone ate the dinner that I paid for that everyone bailed out on. Remember that one? Call back. I got a salad and it was dry. They only gave me one dressing and I wanted another and it was taking forever to get the other dressing. And I could have eaten the salad. It was half dressed, but it would improve by about 50% with an extra dressing. So I waited and waited and waited and it was worth it. It was delicious as opposed to me eating this dry salad being fucking angry that it's dry.
Look, I'm with you. I wish I had that trait. When I was like 12, I was in Costa Rica. I ordered a chicken burrito. It was frozen. The chicken was not cooked.
And you still ate it.
And I ate it because I was hungry. Two, I didn't want to be a nuisance to the family that took me to Costa Rica. I just ate and like it had the beak on it. Like I was so sick.
I just want everyone, including you, to take care of yourselves. Yeah. It is not, you're not a nuisance if you ask for extra dressing. You're not a nuisance if you pass on something that someone cooked and they get offended. That's their fault for getting offended. It's not, you don't want to eat that. You don't have to eat everything that's put in front of you just to be nice or be. Treat yourself well, listen to your needs, and honor them. We got to get to the news.
Let's get there. I'm excited. Some good stories today.
Oh, good stories today?
No good stories today.
You heard it here first. Yeah, you heard it here first.
Let's get to it. We got some
hottie stories.
Oh, really?
I hope you're having fun out there, folks. The swells are kicking in.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, boy.
Best friends. Do appreciate this, by the way.
Which, having fun out there?
Having fun and swells. I'm getting a lot of swells and having fun messages.
Swells is fun.
Yeah. If you're just joining the show, which, by the way, you don't have to go back and listen to old episodes. You can jump in whenever you want and get your friends involved, too, with the show. Just tell them they can join whenever they want. They don't have to, you don't need to be caught up. We'll catch you up on all the inside jokes every so often. But we like to say swells here. I don't even know how it happened, so it doesn't matter for you two. And we also, every time Andrew gives the news, which is our daily segment of You Heard It Here First, because that's the thing Andrew says all the time, even though it's literally like the 18th time you've probably heard it. Andrew will wish that you're having fun out there to win over your trust so that his headlines go smoother than they probably will. Well, and let's get into it.
Real quick, I got a message.
Yeah.
Someone said, I finally found out about that shipping container thing. Even though I saw the headlines, but thanks for the story. I didn't know it had dildos on it. I go, that's not the boat that had dildos on it.
It wasn't the one. And you pronounced it Suez. You were like, Suez.
Swiss beats.
And we thought it was like in Honduras. We're so stupid. We thought Holland. We thought Amsterdam was in Holland.
No, Denmark.
Denmark, yes.
And the Dutch one from Denmark.
And we thought, no. I thought I did get Danish right from Denmark.
Yes.
Danish people.
Oh, God. We're doing this.
Don't get us down Holland the geography and Netherlands.
Get your shit together. That's what we want to say.
Okay. Netherlands. Get it together.
Who are you?
And you've been to the Netherlands.
Many times. No, just once.
I want to go to the Netherlands.
I met Heath Ledger there.
Oh, yeah, you met Heath Ledger.
10 things I hate about you. All right, here we go. Story time.
10 things I hate about you is that you bring up that story every chance you get. No, actually,
it's my only story.
I literally, every time we meet someone, I'm like, tell your Heath Ledger story. Okay, go on. Let's get to news. He'll tell it at some point, you guys.
A phony Botox doctor.
Oh, God.
Drank 4 Loco champagne during consultations.
He dared it.
So this guy, Nelson Turin, who was practicing or attempting to practice medicine without a medical license, the director of the sheriff's office. One of the most bizarre cases, they set him up. They went in there. The guy's drinking Four Loko, and he's giving Botox that expired last year. So this guy...
I mean, this is not... Yeah, that's... Well, this guy's... This is like the guy that was going to court when he was doing... You know, he made a court appearance on Zoom, and he was like...
Oh, that was the best.
Just these arrogant doctors.
Well, the guy was in... That was... Here's the thing. How hard is it? You get Botox.
Yeah.
You've gotten it in some weird places that
I got it at my orthodontist last time. No joke. I was at my orthodontist getting my Invisalign checked on.
Is that legal?
No, probably not.
Were they drinking Four Loko?
It was a Sunday, and they were coming into work just to get me my trays fitted. And both these beautiful girls are over my head talking about, like, you know, working on my teeth. And they go, when do you want to get our Botox? And I was like, where do you guys go? I need a St. Louis place. And they're like, we do it right here. And I was like, I'm leaving for the Caymans. I haven't had it in years. Can you please? And they just.
I mean, how hard is it?
It's very easy. It's like a vaccine.
Isn't performing open heart surgery.
By the way, it's not. I mean, they definitely like they're meticulous about it. They make you scrunch up your face, and they were arguing. It was interesting to hear these girls talk about each of their methods that they would have used on my face. And then they like settled on one, because you usually just get one doctor and they just do whatever they want to do. So it's not. Always get two doctors, I think.
You weren't worried that these people aren't even dentists or orthodontists?
No, they do it themselves, and they were so gorgeous, and their Botox was so subtle and perfect that I trusted them. Because they each do it to each other, so I go, yeah, I'll trust these.
So are you saying that you would trust a hot plastic surgeon over an ugly one?
Oh, 100%. I mean, I've said that in my special. When I went to go get filler for the first time, the woman came in, and she looked like a shiny like cat. Or she looked like a shiny Grinch or a newborn Grinch.
And you're like, I need that.
And I really tried to back out of it. I was getting my lips done and I said, I don't want to do this. I'm too nervous. And then I felt pressured to get it because it was clearly, it's like when you are DMing with a guy whose account is private and you're like getting along and then you go send a picture and then they send a picture and you just don't want to talk to them anymore. And they know, they know it's because they, how they look. And so I went through with the Botox and I fucked that guy from my DMs. JK Rowling is a great
JK
author,
Rowling, yeah.
But has some controversial
opinions. Oh boy, she does. Quidditch. She doesn't believe in it. I think depends on the surgery, like getting a discount. Like my buddy went to get his eyes done.
Yeah.
And the doctor gave him like half off.
Yeah.
And it's a wild surgery to get
a discount on LASIK.
Yeah, but Botox, you could drink Four Loko and shoot a couple fucking.
Listen, when comedians aren't on stage and they drink, people are like, yeah. And it's like, that guy's doing a job. I think it's very unprofessional to get wasted on stage. I know that some people, it's like their thing. But when I've been like high on stage before, I felt guilty about it. Like I was kind of Four Lokoing my crowd.
Well, here's the thing. Stand up, I would say, is harder than shooting Botox in your head.
Totally different things. I mean, no, because to get your license to even do Botox, you have to go to a lot.
Not this guy. You just buy a six pack of Four Loko.
Yeah, I'm surprised people are even still drinking Four Loko. I thought that was banned, let alone, you know, expired Botox.
They're next like, this story. Guy's shooting Botox and then, wow, drinking Four Loko.
I just want to say I got a lot of good feedback on all of the talk about plastic surgery and filler, and I just thank you all for writing in and sharing your stories about that too, and keep them coming.
All right, next story. Hope you're still having a really fun time.
Oh,
someone
God.
was thrown 10 feet off a roller coaster and suffered serious injuries after landing on the track at the Tennessee theme park. I don't know why I'm laughing.
I don't know either. I mean, this is wild.
Okay. Did you see the roller coaster?
No, please.
This thing is made out of like a cabbage. It's like, it's like in the woods. Like, I think they just let a tree fall and they added a track on top of it.
Some of my favorite coasters are just like old wooden beasts.
Yeah, but I don't trust them. I don't even know if this thing had seatbelts.
Well, they've been around for a while. So in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, it's called the Mountain Coaster. Severely injured after flying out of the cart and landing on tracks. Okay, so let me look at this fucking roller coaster, because I love coasters, and I picked this story when I saw the headline because this is a recurring dream for me, a recurring nightmare, is that I fall out of roller coasters. Like, I'm not strapped in tight enough and I slip out and I'm hanging on for dear life. It happens every time. I mean, it's just like a common stress dream. I'm guessing it's a common stress dream because it recurs for me, the kind of like, you know, when it's your final exam and you are late for your class.
Are you on
stuff.
This coaster by yourself?
No, sometimes I'm with people.
Is someone helping you up when you're hanging?
No, and you know, another dream I have a lot is in the same vein is like I'm going really fast in a car and or alone on skis or something, and I go over a jump, and all of a sudden I'm like flung in the air so high that I'm definitely going to die from like it just went too high. Like I went to jump too high, and I'm gonna die, and then I never do.
I have similar stuff like that, but you like roller coasters. Like, but this story reminds me of like the shitty roller coasters or like at the park at carnivals, like the Zipper.
Yeah.
And Gravitron.
No, this one is like legit, you guys. This is in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. You travel speeds up to 35 miles an hour, which is not slow by any means.
It's not that fast, though.
But that's nuts that someone got flung from this. I mean, that is my worst fear, but this is an irrational fear. Things are going to happen like this, but yeah, I used to be terrified of roller coasters. I didn't go in one until I was probably 14 or 15, and all of my friends did, and it was just, I was such a baby. I would always make up excuses not to go to Six Flags. I would miss out on, like, you know, flirting with boys and going on these trips, and it was all because I was just terrified of these coasters. And then I went on one, and I talked about this before, but I think
you came.
Yeah, I came on a roller coaster called the X Factor in.
Were you thinking of Simon Cowell?
Yes, I was.
I don't actually.
And
I
how
don't
he you. Got One Direction together. No, it's the best roller coaster ever. It was so fucking hot. Not hot, but like it was hot. Like it was like. It made me feel so out of control in the similar way of an orgasm. And after I got done, I was like, I think I couldn't even verbalize it because I was so shocked. And then I found out that that's a common thing that girls, not super common, but girls do come from like G-force stuff. G-spot force.
You got to it
got
first.
To it first.
Do you think how long after the Mark Wahlberg scene from Fear
was nothing
this.
To do with that, but I do love getting fingered on a roller coaster. It was the monologue to open my show Not Safe with Nikki Glaser, was that I became sexually awakened when I saw Fear and I saw her get fingered on that roller coaster. That was the first time I felt like I should be alone right now with this movie and not with my girlfriends, because my body is making it. I feel like I'm on a roller coaster. What is happening? The Wild Horses is playing. She's on this roller coaster. She's getting fingered and his hands move. I mean, it's just, it still holds up as such a hot scene. And then he throws the dog's head through the doggy door later on after he decapitated it. Yeah.
I mean, he was a psycho, but girls were really turned on by that.
He wasn't a psycho yet by the time that he was fingering on a roller coaster. So I do.
Wow. You're really coming to the fence for this guy.
Yeah.
I think he wasn't a good guy before he fingered her.
He had a little bad boyness to him, but he wasn't, you know, decapitating your beloved pets yet.
We saw it happening.
All right. Next. Okay. So is the guy okay? He's in critical condition. He's going to be okay. He came too as he landed on the tracks.
No, he's in serious condition apparently.
Fuck. I hope he's okay. Everyone stay safe out there, but do not let this scare you from riding roller coasters. It's an irrational fear. It won't happen. My fear of two lane highways going over 30 miles per hour, next to each other, like oncoming traffic, real fear. Actually, people do get injured a lot. And in Cayman Islands, there's a lot of drunk driving. So I don't like to go out on Fridays and Saturdays here in the Caymans.
You've been dealing with it really well, though. I've been driving a ton and you haven't.
Because the drive that we have is there's so few cars. It's so desolate.
All right, next headline. I hope you're still having fun. A woman who went on her worst Tinder date ended up in a river rescuing the date's dog while he was making useless suggestions.
I mean, this girl... I understand that you got to do what you got to do, but what happened here?
So this girl went on a date with a guy that owned a boxer, and they were walking along, okay. And the dog fell into the river. And right. Instead of the guy helping and jumping down, he just stood there and watched her while she jumped down and saved this dog and brought it to safety from
the
river.
She gets the dog now, right? Like you get if you save someone's dog, it then becomes yours.
I mean, part of me thinks maybe this is a test this guy does to see if she's the right one. You know how you do like little tests.
Yeah, I've done
door
tests before. Oh my God, I do tests all the time.
What
guys.
Was the last test you did?
I don't even want to say because the person who failed it might be listening. It's not, these tests aren't fair. And I actually disqualified this test because the circumstance was not one in which this person could really feel comfortable passing said test. But, I will say that one of my tests.
Wait, we're not going to find out what the test is?
I just feel. Okay.
Don't say who the person is.
Well, okay. The test is if I'm showing pictures. This is so stupid. It's so embarrassing. Noah, you got to let me know if you think this is a good test to see if like a, this isn't a test as much as it is like I'm going to require this in someone I want to be with.
Okay.
When I am showing a picture of myself at a younger age from the past, a TBT, when like I'm, you know, on our phones showing pictures, if the guy doesn't show interest in what I looked like as a young child and like does the thing where he takes the phone and he zooms in, like he wants to see your face closer, you know, like on an old family photo and be like, oh, I want to see you in the past. We're not going to make it. I've been in too many relationships where the guy doesn't really care about getting to know me or like my history or my past. And this isn't about ex-boyfriends. Like, oh, I want you to know about my relationship history. This is about like, oh, what you looked like as a little girl. And I know this stuff may seem trivial to people, but to me it's not. And I am in the person I love. If I'm not interested in someone's baby pictures, which I'm not a lot of times, this isn't just something I'm, but the guy I love, I know for a fact I will be interested in that. And I would expect the same back.
So how do you
my
pass,
love language
how
is zooming in the, on my childhood pictures.
Yeah. How do you pass this test? So the guy,
when I'm showing pictures from my childhood or from high school or just a much younger version of me, that the person doesn't show, actually, you show the picture and they just go, whatever, you failed. If you want to go, if you go, oh my God, look at you, just say something. I mean, I know these aren't actually interesting, but, and this isn't fake interest. I don't want someone to fake it. It's genuine. Like, I just get disappointed that I'm like, oh, this isn't my person. And I hate the word my person, but this person's not going to be mine. That's just like a litmus test that just kind of, you know,
it just shows so much about you. Yes. It shows that you're very self-interested.
You just don't care about me. You just don't love me. You don't have the potential to love me if you're not interested in what I looked like as a child. That's how I feel about love.
By the way, I don't think this is the worst Tinder date ever, this lady. I mean, she went in knee deep water and grabbed a dog.
He didn't do anything. When a guy reveals himself to be a gigantic pussy like this.
Wait a minute. Andrew, you didn't get the facts straight. It's chest deep water. It wasn't knee deep.
Okay. It wasn't neck deep, Noah. She wasn't drowning.
Chest deep water. Do you know that you can be swept away in ankle deep water by a rushing water?
Okay, but this wasn't rushing water. Was it rushing water?
You don't know it wasn't rushing. It could have been going 35 miles per hour like that fucking coaster.
And you would have came.
Here's the thing.
My thing is that like.
What's your thing? There's no way to spin this where this guy looks good. There's just no way. Don't even try. It's like.
I'm just saying that I'm not saying the guy looks terrible, but the worst date ever. I just don't think it's the worst date ever. I think getting gonorrhea from the guy from his dog would be worse. I'm just saying there's worse things.
I mean, I'm not someone who likes dates really. I mean, I like it once I've already liked the person, we go out to something, but like for getting to know you dates, I've always said that like I just like a simple Netflix and save your dog from a drowning situation. That's what I like. When a guy's like, you up, you want to come save my dog?
So you think if this guy saved the dog, he's getting laid? If he's like, I got it.
Yeah.
And he jumps in.
I will tell you that one time I was like about to break up with this dude.
So
I was
maybe
like,
he should
it.
Set it up.
Yeah. This is a test. I was over this fucking dude. And then we left his house and we were going to dinner. I was like, I have to end this so soon. And a pit bull was growling at me, ready to attack. It got out of its yard. It was the neighbor's yard and they like abused them. And this thing was ready to attack. And it started running to me and I grabbed my neck. I wrapped my hand around my neck and I just fell into a ball because I was ready to be attacked and want to protect my neck. And the dog was running to attack. And this guy just goes, no, no. And like fucking scared the dog enough that it stopped in its tracks as it was ready to attack us and backed away. And then we got inside safe and I blew him so hard.
Wow.
It was the hottest thing, and we lasted for another couple hours at least.
What you didn't see is an hour later, he's feeding that pit bull and they're best friends.
Test. All right, let's get to your sports moment, my friend.
You know I love a sports story, Nick.
I love it.
Here's Andrew's weekly sports moment.
Okay, detectives find cause of Tiger Woods' crash, but won't reveal it, citing privacy concerns.
Right, I got this alert today on my phone that the details, and I kept reading, I go, wait, there's no details. What do you think it was?
Well, here's the thing. The more I read, the more they're asking him if it's okay to release it, which they don't usually do. I mean, right. He's obviously a person of power. People want to find out that he was on drugs. Sure. They want to find out he was fucked up.
Yeah.
They want to pile on to the millions of things so they could do another documentary about how Tiger Woods, you know, fucked a girl in the sand trap or whatever.
Yeah. He's not hiding something if it's a muffler issue.
What do you?
You know what I mean? Like the fact that it's not being released suggests maybe something.
Yeah. Well, I think the fact that it's not being released, people think
they're
covering up something.
Leave Tiger alone.
Right.
Leave him alone.
It was a single accident. He's the only one that got fucked up. I mean, you know, the SUV, purely an accident is what the sheriff said.
Great.
And people are like,
leave him alone.
But,
that documentary felt so gross. You told me that before I watched it because you had watched it first. And then I watched it and I learned so much. The other day I was telling cast members on the show all about it. I was like, his high school girlfriend was his true love. It wasn't just a high school fling. They were meant to be. And blah, blah. But the thing that bugged me about the documentary was just all the people that it said Tiger's friend. And I'm like, bitch, not anymore. You're not. Tiger's never talking to anyone associated with this thing.
No. He's like, you know what?
It felt dirty.
I like how you ruined me on national TV. And it just makes me think, I haven't texted you in a while.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
If you watch that documentary, there's this one girl
in it.
Maybe
the caddy. I think the caddy deserves a second.
I do too. Chance. He was really kind the whole time. But still, Tiger's never going to talk to that dude again. Ever, 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 ever. You're dead to Tiger. You are. If you watched that documentary, we're dead to Tiger. Like anyone who watched it is, he's not going to forgive you. Tiger can cut you out of his life very, very quickly. We learned through that documentary.
Tiger was almost dead to Tiger.
Yeah. I mean, truly he chopped off a whole part of his life because he wanted to be committed to golf and to being the best. And so he definitely, there are people like that are so committed to what they care about that they can just slice you out, and he's one of those people.
And he never slices unless it's his friends. Boom.
All right, let's move
Booyah!
On. Great, great sports segment, by the way.
Thank you. I knew you'd like that.
I was fulfilled by that. It was something that I cared about, something I kind of knew about, something that you kind of knew about as opposed to last week when you truly knew nothing.
Can I just give a quick shout out to North Carolina and Kansas? I apologize. I said you didn't even make March Madness. I got my facts wrong. I apologize. And I apologize to Holland and Netherlands. I'm sorry.
Will you do the KU chant?
KU, not you, but me. And it's me, not you.
That's actually better than what it is. It's rock, chalk, Jayhawk, KU. I think that's it. I went there. I really don't know. I don't care about sports. Noah, we are going to now get into our mental health moment. Yeah, we got a gong going. So, I mean, I think a lot of the podcast is talking about mental health issues, and I don't know why I suddenly took on this softer tone, but I feel like I should have it throughout our mental
NPR
health segment.
Yes.
Andrew, let's talk about our mental health today. What did you learn about yourself this week, or what could you share with our listeners that is something you think would soothe them or provide some kind of relief from the stress of everyday human existence?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Nikki. The other day I was eating 6 pieces of pizza.
Yeah.
And then I woke up and I was very hard on myself. I've been very good about, you know, eating somewhat healthy and working out.
Mm-hmm.
And I fell off hard. And then I ate another 7 slices the next day. Because we had the 2 boxes in the fridge.
Yes.
And then this morning I had 2 more pieces.
Sure.
And what I've learned, Nikki, is that you have to be easy on yourself. And if there's 3 pieces, if there's 3 pies in that fridge, there's people starving other places. You eat the pizza, you enjoy it, You like to
talk me through that. Let's not be funny about it, because I think this is a very real thing.
I'm being honest.
You said there's starving people out there. I mean, like, oh, that's all ridiculous.
This could be why I have a mental health issue.
I mean, it's you're not wrong.
Okay, I'm being serious. I ate the pizza. I fell off hard. I had 6 slices. I was in the moment. I didn't. My anxiety was too high. I didn't even realize I was fucking crushing these pizzas. And a lot of times I wake up, and it was when I used to drink too, and I'd get really fucked up. It wasn't even about getting the fucked up. It was the next day of being so fucking hard on myself for fucking up and for not being able to limit myself because I want attention for some fucking reason in a bar from some random guy with a face tattoo says we're best friends for 20 minutes. Like, this was my whole life. And so
relatable, man. I mean, seriously.
Yeah. And I don't want to, like, it was fucked up that I did that and get fucked up. Then it's triply fucked up the next day when I'm like, you're a piece of shit. You're an idiot. Why would you do that to yourself? Why? And then that started a whole spiral that could last up to 5 days, you know? So the pizza thing is a small, you know, those highs and lows aren't as big because I don't drink anymore. But the pizza is the same kind of concept. The next day I wake up, I'm like, why the fuck did you eat 6 slices? You worked out for 30 minutes.
So can I cut in?
Of course.
I love this. I love that you were gentle with yourself. It is so hard to do. My favorite thing is to be mean to myself. People always ask me why I'm good at roast jokes, and it's because I've been bullying myself my entire life. My voice in my head is truly one of the cruelest voices.
Oh, I've heard it.
It's landed on you. For sure.
It's
true. I can be, but I won't say as mean things to you. Like, mine more passive aggressive to you. But for me, it's just like, I try to get myself to, I bully myself like a, you know, 8th grade girl trying to get a girl to kill herself in her high school. Just like, I really cyberbully myself.
Why do you do that though?
I'm trying to get me to kill myself.
But why do you do that?
Because
why are you
help
so
it?
Hard on yourself?
I can't help it. But now I can, because now I know that this bullying, like, I've done a lot of work on myself through different things this year, and I don't talk to myself like that, like, ever anymore. And it's a really hard habit to break. It's not as easy as just being like, don't talk to yourself like that, because listen, that is compounding on it. When you get mad at yourself for talking bad to yourself, guess what that is? So here's the thing. When I catch myself, when I look in the mirror and it's a bad face day, and I have the compulsory ugh that I say to myself, because I have bags under my eyes, my skin looks like saggy or whatever it is, pale, splotchy. I go, ugh. Instead of going, don't talk bad to yourself, that's so mean, I go, that's so funny that was the first thing you thought to say to yourself. That's so cute, Nikki. Like, that's your coping mechanism. That's adorable. I'm gentle even with the reprimanding in my own head. Now, when it comes to the food stuff, which is like,
I love
huge,
that, by the way.
Yeah. Just you don't have to be nice, because niceness is funny. Try to find the humor in it. Try to observe your voice in your head when you have those moments. Try to step back and observe your voice like you're a scientist doing an experiment and you're writing down notes about it without any judgment. Just like, oh, that's interesting. I did that. That's it. That's so interesting that I said, ugh, to myself. It's not bad. It's not good. It's interesting. It's of note. So here's the thing I did with food. I don't binge anymore. I have not binged in, it'll be a year on April 26th. And I have not, I've eaten 3 meals a day since April 26th, 2020.
Awesome.
And I used to binge every single night of my life. I used to starve all day and eat about one really long extended meal a day.
Also
known as what is it?
Is that the KU chant?
Yeah. But I now don't binge, and I have to get up every morning. Even if I, like, a couple nights ago, I ate a lot at 3 a.m. This wasn't a binge, but I ate like a meal because I just didn't get enough dinner and I didn't want to go to bed hungry. I woke up 5 hours later. I still had breakfast. I did. And even though I wasn't hungry for it, I still had it because I don't get to skip a meal. I don't get to play those games with myself anymore. It doesn't lead to happiness. So that's not me telling you have to do that. What I'm saying is, the other night, I ate a little too much. Wasn't a binge, but I felt fuller than I like to feel. And I used to eat to the point where I would throw up, not because of sticking a finger down my throat, because I was so sick from eating. And this used to be every single night. I would get to the point where I was so sick, I couldn't move. My boyfriend and I couldn't have sex. We used to call it TFTF, too full to fuck. But it was a funny thing, but it was not funny. It was really terrible.
Yeah.
And every time I ate, I would eat to the point where I would make myself sick. So the other night I had a slight, like, I ate a little too much. And instead of going, oh my God, you fucked up for the first time ever. This is a binge. I can't believe you, why did you have to eat that extra half thing of hummus? All these things. I just was like, well, that's funny. All right. Well, tomorrow's a new day. And that was a little over the top. And that's not to say, that's even if I'm telling you my final thing on this, because I know so many people struggle with this. I was you. I am you. I continually have to stop myself from entering these phases. Let's say you have a package of something you do not want to eat the full package of. And you start eating. And guess you have a package that you don't even want to open until later. You have it for later. But you go, you know what? I'm going to have one. Treat myself. You have one. Then you feel bad you had one. You were going to save that. So you have two because you already broke into it, right? Two. Now it's like, now the anxiety you feel from having two when you weren't supposed to have any and there's no reason for it and you're just eating anxiously and emotionally and you're only eating because you're anxious, you now are going to finish that bag, not because you're anxious from when you ate the two cookies. That anxiousness that finishes the rest of the bag is from the fact that you ate the two cookies. Are you hearing me out? So when you eat those two cookies, forgive yourself for those two cookies. Do not have it lead to more anxiety, which leads you to then devour the bag, because the bag is getting devoured only because of the anxiety of those two cookies. Let it go. Forgive yourself for making mistakes. It's okay. Everyone does it. Everyone. Giselle Bundchen overeats. Everyone does it. And that's your mental health moment for the day. Let's move into final thoughts. Final thoughts. I'm really glad we got to record this podcast 18 times today because of recording issues. It felt good to me.
This is proof of that we all have worked on ourselves, because it's the same thing. Like, the pod didn't record like four times and we're just like, we had a day off today.
Recorded 25 minutes of stuff that you'll never hear. And we had internet issues that would not, like, this podcast was supposed to be done an hour and a half ago and it's still going.
Yeah.
But that is a perfect example because that happened for a reason. I used to never understand this. Everything happens for a reason. When something happens now that is like so advantageous, my purse spills out in front of everyone. There's trash all over the floor. I drop a glass and it shatters and it fucks up everything. I'm so glad that happened the way it happened, because that was supposed to happen. I didn't want it to happen. I'm not a bad person because it happened. It was supposed to happen. And I'm glad we lost that stuff, because even when we lost that file and we had so many funny jokes on there, so many that could have changed our fucking lives and led to like development deals.
Maybe.
And truly, I mean, that could have been the case, but I guarantee you something happened because of that, that would have never happened with that. And I'm so grateful for that. Like this conversation, in fact.
I love this conversation. And I think that there's so many times in my life where like I've failed or feel like I've failed. And it's like, you're such a fucking failure. Instead of being like, like you said, like that laughing at the step, but you have to be present.
You have to be you.
To be able to stop and look at that.
Waking Up app. You can get it for free by writing into support at wakingup.com. That makes you more mindful. But yeah, you have to have mindfulness to stop these things. I remember the first time I put it into use of really letting things go and just knowing that there's a reason for everything. It was before we were going to our show in Philadelphia at Royersford at that outdoor venue with Ari. Remember we were on the sidewalk before we got in the car and I got a kombucha and I dropped it and it shattered everywhere.
Yes.
And I, you know, it was like a $7 kombucha, maybe more. It was probably like $9. I was at a bodega.
Humble brag.
I was really thirsty for it. I was treating myself to it because it makes me feel a little buzz and I don't drink and it just gives me this. And I was excited to have it on my road trip. And I remember I dropped it and everyone goes, oh, I can go get you a new one. Oh, and I just go, I wasn't supposed to have that kombucha. Like God or whatever. I believe in God, but my version of God, that wasn't supposed to go in my body and I'm fucking fine with it. And if it is meant to be, I'll go get another, but I wasn't compelled to. So it was just like, instead of, you know, next time you're in traffic, the other day we were driving and the guy in front of us, or you were cognizant of the fact that a guy was really
on someone else's
tail.
Yeah.
And I wanted to say, I didn't do it, but I wanted to say to you in that moment, if someone's on your tail, that doesn't, just imagine they're not there. Them being there is not affecting your life literally at all. Maybe it's blocking your view behind you that you want to see, but any more than that, it's not doing anything. It's making me feel pressured to go faster. It's making me feel like they're good. You're choosing to feel that way. That the car has nothing to do with how you're feeling. No one makes you feel anyway. I'm so tired of people saying they made me feel bad. They made me feel scared. If you say that, you're wrong. You chose to take their actions and make them make you feel that way. You're in control.
You know when I fell in love with you as a friend?
When?
So, and I think this is a nice story. And it like really like, I do think about this a lot. So I thought I had bed bugs in my apartment. And then I was dog sitting for you. So then I was staying in your room. So I thought I gave your bed bugs.
Yeah.
But there was just one bed bug and it was not even in my room where I was. But yeah. I was walking around, and this is before Zoloft. This is before I went to therapy. I was walking around New York City thinking, I'm going to tell her this and it's going to be the end of our friendship. She's going to fire me. How fucking wrong of me to fucking put her at risk with these bed bugs. Because you hear horror stories about bed bugs.
You lose friends if you even say, like, if you say the word bed and bug and they're not even connected. Like, I got out of bed this morning and then I went outside and I saw a bug on a leaf. Yeah. People are like, I think we need to distance ourselves for about a couple months.
And I called you and I was so scared to call you. Because this was early in our friendship.
Yeah.
And you told me to go fuck myself.
I know. And then why would that make you feel a deeper connection?
You were so fucking kind about it. And you were like, yeah, if they show up, well, I'll deal with it. But until they show up, I'm not going to worry about it. Don't stress about it. And you put yourself in my head because you might feel similarly if you were in my shoes.
Yeah.
And so many times we don't fucking stop and be like, this person is already feeling horrible.
And this could happen to me too. Yeah.
And to double up on that person. And person I would want that knows. Person
to do that to me. When I caught one of my ex-boyfriends was going through my phone once and I caught him going through my phone and it was just like such a breach of trust. And I remember he felt so bad and I go, you have a big day at work. I promise you this will not end us. Please let it go. Just know that we're going to have a talk about it, but it's not going to be the end of us. Please just put this out of your mind like it didn't happen today, because that's what I would want for me if I did something, had a weakness of character and I got caught for it. I would want someone to go, here's the facts. It's never going to lead to me breaking up with you. This might be a symptom of something later down the road that leads to it, but this tonight, I'm not going to break up with you. Go to work, be okay, be present, and we'll deal with this later, because it's still going to be there. Nothing needs to happen right now. And so I just hope people do that for the people in your life today a little bit more. We got to go. Thank you so much for listening. Noah, thanks for letting us go long today. I love you so much, best friends. We'll see you next week. Tell people about the podcast. We are on the carousel on iTunes.
It's awesome.
Front page carousel, bitches.
I keep forgetting that we're like on the radio, because we're here. And we're on the radio everywhere.
Yeah, if you hear us on the radio and ad for our show on the radio, try to record it and put it on your Instagram story and tag us. We love to hear from you. Thank you so much. You're our best friends. We'll see you next week and have a good weekend. Okay.